Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He is off, as usual, playing Superman, helping improve this network of radio stations that we are putting together here at Civic Media. You may be listening to this fine program on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, here in Madison, Wisconsin. I am broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You may also be listening to the program on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, on radio from the center, WRCE 1450 AM, 107.7 FM in Richland Center, or you may be listening on Lake Air in Amory, Wisconsin. That's WXCE 1460 AM. So welcome to the show. In Brian's absence, I reached out to friend of the station here in Madison, State Representative Francesca Hong, representing the 76th District in the Wisconsin State Assembly, the Isthmus portion of downtown Madison, to join me on this hour to talk a little bit about the races she's keeping an eye on outside of her district, and just talk maybe some current events here in Wisconsin. Francesca, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing very well, Luke, and please call me Fran.
Fran, all right, Fran. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your afternoon. I can assume with 6 weeks out from Election Day, as somebody with their name on the ballot, you're pretty busy this time of year. So very gracious that you have some time to talk with me here on the airwaves. About what I wanted to talk about first was some of the out of your district races that you're keeping an eye on, necessarily not the top line items where we're seeing, I mean, everybody's getting spammed right now with political ads for the gubernatorial race, for the U.S. Senate race, but there's a lot of down ballot races as well, especially for the state assembly, that are going to be pretty pivotal this November when it comes to whether or not there will be a veto-proof majority for whoever becomes governor. And races like the Secretary of State, who maybe tossed all of a sudden some more important powers than that office currently holds now, if Republicans potentially take it over from Doug LaFollette, who's been serving in that role for more than four decades. So I'd like to kind of just throw it to you. First off, what do you got your eye on? What are you keeping track of 6 weeks out when it comes to those down ballot races?
Well, thanks so much for asking that. And thanks again for having me. Love being on Devil Radio and all the other stations that folks are listening and tuning into. Appreciate your engagement. I am so glad we get to talk about down ballot races in state assembly and state senate. As critical as it is that we reelect Governor Evers, get Ron Johnson out and have a new U.S. senator, as well as bring in Josh Call and keeping Doug LaFollette exactly where he is. If we have a veto-proof majority that is in the state legislature, unfortunately, Governor Evers' veto of harmful bills that will directly impact many Wisconsinites, it will be devastating. And so right now in the state assembly, we are in danger of losing five seats. We want to make sure we have strong incumbents come back, including Katrina Shanklin, who represents proudly central Wisconsin. I was in the Stevens Point area a couple weeks ago, knocking on doors, and folks know Katrina. She knows the work that they've been, they know her work and how she fights for all of central Wisconsin. Another race to keep an eye on is the 71st. I'm sorry, the 73rd District up in Superior, Wisconsin. Nick Milroy is retiring, and he asked Laura Gapsky to run. And Laura is a fighter. She's a community leader, a mom, and works to provide services for folks who are undergoing trauma and are victims of abuse. Laura is fighting for a grassroots campaign, and she's even on she's doing a show with one of the comedians that I worked with in my previous election, Mary Mack, up there. And so I'm excited about Laura and keeping an eye up in northwestern Wisconsin. And then a little bit closer to Madison, I'm very excited about Lou Ann Bird, who is running in the 84th district. The 84th is the suburbs of Milwaukee, includes Greenfield. Bird is the word. Lou Ann is a fierce advocate for disability rights. She understands the importance of the care economy, strong champion for public schools. And honestly, she is like, I wish she was my grandma. She is direct, she is fierce, and she is going to beat Bob Donovan. I can feel it. I feel it in my bones. And then lastly, we have the brilliant Leia Spicer, who is running in the 51st, and that includes Dodge County and Greene County. And she is from Spring Green, Wisconsin. And like myself, a brilliant mother, and she's also a small business owner, grew up on a farm and continues to, she came back to Spring Green to help take care of her parents, and their land, and has been, work in that district that I think is very flippable. It's going to be difficult. Obviously, gerrymandering has made it very difficult for Wisconsinites to have actual representatives of their interests. However, these women are courageously, battling in these purple districts, if you'll call them that. And really, their greatest strength is their commitment to community and their willingness to, like, they are the folks who grew up in the area and they know the people and they are compassionate to their issues. And in some spaces, we have to admit and remember that the Democratic brand is pretty toxic. And I think it's important to acknowledge that and realize that relational organizing and having community leaders really step up and speak truthfully to the issues that matter most to these folks in their communities, whether it be childcare, public education, clean water. These are the folks who are best suited to represent these communities, and I'm excited for these women to win.
And a couple of things stand out from all of the excellent candidates that you just described, because A, first, they are all women that are stepping up and running for these offices. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a pretty impactful year when it comes to all the polling we know is just kind of a snapshot. It is not an exact science. There is no way to really tell. We've been let down before by polls. We've been surprised on election days. When you're out there talking in these communities, because you describe a wide array of, from all the way up in northern Wisconsin, Superior, to central Wisconsin, to the Milwaukee area, and so it's not just one area that's going to affect this election outcome. But how do you believe from this summer's decision with the Supreme Court and also a lot of women stepping up to run, what have those conversations been like, and what are your thoughts from being on the ground in these different districts for what it's looking like for November?
These women are the candidates that are going to help protect freedoms. I think it's really important that we talk about protecting the veto as protecting our freedom to choose who we love, protect our freedom to expand our families when we want to, protect the freedom for our children to live in safe environments with a safe climate. I think that abortion is absolutely on the ballot, and abortion is an issue that impacts everyone. And people who get pregnant and women are best suited to really champion these issues as freedom issues. And the freedom to choose when to expand your family, the freedom to have bodily autonomy. I think this is at the forefront for folks who have, for everyone, right? Like, I think, yes, it's absolutely important that we have women at the center of these issues. However, abortion isn't an everyone's issue. Everyone knows someone who will need an abortion, and everyone loves someone that will need an abortion. And these are the types of issues where you've got a lot of folks who are wanting to disengage with politics right now. It is polarizing. They don't want anything to do with it. The news cycles are, you know, toxic and chaotic. But here's the thing. If you don't do politics now, politics is going to do you. And we have the Dobbs decision to outline that. So absolutely every single Democrat should be talking about abortion. And we need to make sure that we are telling a story, that we keep it personal, that we let everyone know that it's abortion is on the ballot. Freedom is on the ballot. Democracy is on the ballot. And these aren't, this isn't me being alarmist. This is a call to action for every single person to be able to protect their agency, to be able to protect the people they love, and to protect their freedom to choose. And that's really why we have to elect Democrats. And I think some of the best messengers of that are women.
Absolutely. And now a lot of Democrats, when they get elected to, say, a safe district like yourself, they don't necessarily go and do all this advocacy outside of the district, and they're not necessarily keeping an eye on all of the other races going on around the state. What has it been like as somebody in the safe district that's going out and putting in the work to try to help win? As you said, you were doing doors in Stevens Point. What is the conversations when you are a safe blue district Dem in Stevens Point or elsewhere? What are those conversations like with when you're getting out the vote for these candidates that are in some cases incumbents, but in other cases, first time candidates?
So I just want to reiterate that as I'm not the only safe candidate who is helping to knock doors, and we've got amazing staff. Our legislative staffers are also taking vacation time to go and knock doors in these swing districts. We've got a lot of other folks who are in safe districts helping to knock doors and do the relational organizing that we need. I think what's important to remember, and I go back to this, not to shame ourselves as Democrats when I say the Democratic brand is toxic, but when I'm knocking doors in Stevens Point or Hammond, Wisconsin, I am going as a Wisconsinite. I am going as a mom. It's really important that we have constituents, or we have folks in the community lead the conversation. So
sorry to cut you there short, but we're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to continue the questions. We got State Representative Francesca Hong. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. I got a bulletproof chest so you can hurt me. It's a brand new world. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He is off playing Superman at the transmitter sites for one of the stations here, improving this network of stations at Civic Media. You're listening on Devil Radio in Madison, the Shaw in Waukesha, Radio from the Center in Richland Center, and Lake Air in Amory. And if you want to join the show, we'll also be taking calls 844-967-2789 a little bit later in the program. But right now I'm joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, and she's describing some of the candidates in the districts outside of her own, where she represents here in Madison, the 76th, that she's keeping an eye on these down-ballot races. And as you described, a lot of these candidates from Superior to the Milwaukee area and elsewhere, they're community members. They are stepping up. They are women, specifically of the four you described last segment, that are stepping up and putting their name on the ballot to run and represent their community, which I think everything that you did say about the Democratic brand being toxic, I think that does really lend some credit to these candidates, that they're just stepping up and trying to improve and running as Democrats in these districts. And they're purple districts. We've got some pretty gerrymandered maps, and we'll get into that maybe a little bit later in the program. But Republicans, specifically at the top of the ticket here in Wisconsin, they've got such a great bench of candidates that they're flying them in from Connecticut when it comes to who they've got running for governor here in Wisconsin. So can you talk a little bit more about kind of these candidates coming from the community, and we can use that as a pivot point to talk a little bit about the gubernatorial race and the U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin.
Where do we begin when it comes to the Republican candidates for governor and U.S. Senate? I think wealth hoarding, self-serving, out of touch misogynists is a start. Unfortunately, they pretend to understand the values of Wisconsinites. But Wisconsinites, we value protecting our kids. We value protecting our environment. We value respecting one another. And I think the fact that we have candidates right now who are really running to destroy our way of life. And it's unfortunate because there are a lot of folks with needs, a lot of communities that need services, a lot of places across Wisconsin where people are trying to get by. They don't want to think about who's on, you know, Fox News or MSNBC. They want to live their lives. And what's most important to remember about the Republican candidates is they do not want you to live your life. These are candidates who are willing to sacrifice democracy to make another buck. They are candidates who flip-flop on issues between abortion and gay marriage based on whatever flavor their staff is telling them they got to be up on that day. I am incredibly proud to be from Wisconsin, and I think that these candidates are embarrassments.
Okay. I think that's a great place to start, and I think that was very well described, because I have a hard time sometimes talking about Tim Michaels without just getting mad, and just Ron Johnson without just getting mad. And so being able to articulate the problem of them just running for the sake of running, I think is perfect. And it is really depressing sometimes when you're thinking about having all of the statewide races here in Wisconsin. It could just be coming down to a coin toss. And so we've got 6 weeks from today. What kind of work can those individuals here, maybe in Madison they're listening, maybe they're listening in Richland Center or Waukesha, what can individuals be doing over these next 6 weeks to either join, knocking doors, donating? What is the best way that these next 6 weeks can be utilized by people in the listening audience?
Time, talent, treasure. And we all have to contribute all three. It is really important that Wisconsinites in the community continue to articulate with our candidates, with Tony Evers, with Mandela Barnes, with Josh Call, and everyone else who's running as a Democrat, what we are fighting for. And in order to fight for this, we need to contribute treasure. You need to donate and get people to donate whatever you can, whether it be $5 or $500. Campaigns are expensive, and inflation impacts campaigns as well. Talent. Not everyone's going to be about knocking doors or making calls, but what other talent can you contribute to a campaign, whether it be writing letters or maybe your ability to really go into professional or private spaces and talk about the importance of voting. It doesn't even have to be a political conversation, but really make sure that people in your personal and professional spheres understand the importance of voting in this election. It is the most important election right now, is coming up in November. And then time, talent, and treasure. So we need folks to donate their time, and whether it be providing lunches for folks who may be organizing or going out to different canvassing events, being able to knock on doors and talk to people about how important it is to vote Democrat up and down the ticket, that this is about protecting our freedoms, this is about protecting democracy, and it's really about our abilities to live our lives and love who we love and protect the Wisconsin that we know and love.
And speaking of one of those teas, the treasure tea, you've come up with a pretty, I think it's unique. I don't know if I've ever seen it before. But you have a fundraising challenge out there for determining the size of a tattoo on your body. Can you give an update on how large is the tattoo this year going to be so far?
So far, we've got a little over an inch. We've raised about $1,000. And so for every $1,000 we raise, we grow an inch. And this is a very personal tattoo for me. It is two identities that I hold very dearly, my Korean identity and my Wisconsin identity. And so it'll be the word Wisconsin written out phonetically in Korean.
All right. And it is just over an inch now. So if you want to donate your treasure to get the tattoo to be a little bit larger, you can do that at what website, Francesca?
Kongforassembly.com. And everything that you contribute, we use to help support candidates running for assembly across the state.
All right. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment with the representative before she has to take her time and continue on with these 6 weeks before the election. So we got a couple other questions, one from Brian as well, that I'm going to get to in this next segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but you are listening across Civic Media here in Madison on Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw, in Richland Center on Radio from the Center, and in Amory, Wisconsin on WXCE Lake Air. And joined this hour by State Representative Francesca Hung. And we're talking down ballot races, keeping an eye on what individuals can do in these 6 weeks leading up between now and Election Day, which is wild to think that it is only 6 weeks away. It is coming up fast. And a little housekeeping note for everybody listening on Civic Media. Just got an update in the last 15, 20 minutes or so. We got some updates that the January 6th, the House Select Committee on January 6th public hearing that was scheduled for tomorrow at noon is going to be postponed due to Hurricane Ian making landfall in Florida. Do not know if it will be postponed beyond just noon and a little bit later in the day or for another day, but you just want to stay tuned to Civic Media. We will provide updates with when those hearings will be rescheduled to and broadcast them live at that time here across the Civic Media Network. But speaking of the January 6th committee, we found out that over the weekend they had sent a subpoena to State Representative Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, to testify before the committee and discuss a little bit about what his phone call with the former president was early in July. And love to hear your thoughts on kind of finding out that the now Robin Voss's office seems to be subject to subpoenas when it comes to overturning the election from 2020. Representative Hung.
I am still learning. I still have this honeymoon period, I guess, of being a freshman lawmaker. I did not know that legislative immunity during session was available for lawmakers, and that was not in the orientation binder. I think that information was withheld from us by the speaker, but that's just the current thought. The response from the speaker's office was that this was partisan politics. This was an election gimmick, possibly. But what I find really ironic and interesting about that is the reason he's fighting this so fervently is because he had a very close primary, and his opponent, Adam Steen, is an ardent MAGA Trump supporter and truther. And I think if it were to get out that the conversation he had with the former president was about the inability to decertify the election because it is illegal, and to reinforce that to the voters in his district, I don't think he wants to do that. And so should he, like, nobody wants to be deposed and go to a deposition, but he would have to admit that to a growing base of MAGA supporters who believe that this is still possible. It is impossible to decertify an election. It is illegal. And so for the speaker to have to reinforce that, I think he himself is doing this for political reasons. And he doesn't want his base to know in his district that he was on the phone telling the former president most likely that it was going to be impossible for him to decertify the election. And so I think, you know, as much as this is about, you know, him fighting the subpoena and hopefully not using taxpayer money to do that, because he has already wasted $1 million, $1.1 million on a scam investigation with Michael Gableman. He doesn't need to further waste taxpayer dollars, but I think he would if he needed to protect himself.
Yeah, that would be my follow-up to the legislative immunity. Like, does the taxpayers just automatically cover the cost of the assembly speaker for any of these lawsuits, no matter what? Like, how does that work? How does the speaker's office just get to write off all of these legal fees that, you know, if you just didn't take the former guy's call and you didn't deal with the criminals, maybe you wouldn't be in the middle of this legal web now and having to play politics like you described and avoid coming to light a phone call that you had that was just speaking truth but is not going to do him any favors ahead of November's election.
I can't speak to the speaker's decisions and his ability to use taxpayer money to fund his legal slush fund, but I think it, like, we as Democrats in the audit committee have called numerous times for an investigation into the Office of Special Counsel because accountability and transparency matter when it comes to taxpayer funds, and the speaker should not be abusing his power in his office to use taxpayer money to fund his legal fees.
Absolutely. And it kind of goes into the vein of Brian's question, so I'll ask it now, because Brian wanted to know, if you could wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you had a legislative session begin now, even though there's none on the calendar, they've been gaveled out, and the Republicans here in Wisconsin have wrapped up for the year back in the first week of March, but if you could wave a magic wand and there would be, say, a special session call was heated, What would your one priority be for this special session? What could be done right now with, say, the $5 billion unprecedented surplus? What would be your number one priority for what to put that to work for if you could be in session today?
Repeal the antiquated 1849 abortion ban.
Okay. And the governor has called for that. So the governor has called for that special session. It is scheduled, I believe, for next Tuesday, October 4th, to put a ballot referendum on the books that would allow direct democracy here in Wisconsin. Do you have an over-under on how many seconds that special session is going to take when it's to be convened next week? Or do you believe there could be some good faith and that a conversation could be had in that special session?
I don't believe there will be a conversation. I think the last special session the governor called to take up reproductive justice lasted about 27 seconds. I anticipate this one to be just around that as well.
Okay. So that is going to be next Tuesday, October 4th. And is there a time scheduled for that?
It is when members of the Republican Party gavel in and gavel out.
Okay, so we are all behest to whenever they deem those 27 seconds roughly will take place next Tuesday. Brian's follow-up question to it, and it's not super applicable to a special session because those are called for by the governor, but if there was a magical session that you as a state representative could call for, would you see any Republicans coming and trying to work on that? Brian wants to know if there's any good faith Republicans left in the Wisconsin either state assembly or state senate that could work on issues that we could see bipartisan compromise here in Wisconsin, or is it all what we hear of the palace intrigue at the state capitol building? Is it all super partisan and nobody really to work with when it comes to the other side of the aisle?
difficult to have this conversation because the power of the speaker and who he assigns to committees and who he assigns to speak on certain issues, regardless of where their actual stance may be, it is, you know, what we call sometimes in the restaurant industry, in the kitchen, a we chef situation. And so I don't know which ones of my colleagues have the political courage to stand up to the speaker. And so it is difficult to think that anyone would come in for a special session, because the governor has called the special session on gun safety. The governor has called a special session on reproductive justice, on education. And in none of these instances have my colleagues in the legislature, a lot of them being MAGA politicians, come in to even debate the issue. My colleague in Dev Andraka is starting a really great information session on, not, I shouldn't call it session, but she has this hashtag never got a hearing. The fact that I believe it was less than 11, fewer than 11 bills that Democrats authored that even got a hearing in a committee. When we say do nothing Republicans who are going against the will of the people, when we see the polls where we stand on funding education, where we stand on legalizing cannabis, where we stand on universal background checks, they are defying the will of the Wisconsin people, not coming in to do their job and wasting money at it.
Yeah, it's the fact that they're, and you see some Republicans referring to the legislative body here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin legislature, as a part-time legislature, despite the fact that we are one of a handful of states that does have full-time legislators. You could be in session if the Republican leadership put it out there to be today. You could be in session all the way throughout this calendar year, and Republicans chose to do nothing, wrap up the session in the first week of March, and now we're so close to the election. We're like, as we've reiterated, 6 weeks from today is election day. And speaking of what the Democrats have called for on the Legislative Audit Committee, we're seeing now Republicans on that same committee announced that they're going to audit, and they're requesting information about things that, you know, if their stance really was, well, we can't do any legislative work this close to an election because it's too political. But they're announcing audits into now the governor and the lieutenant governor's security details. And this is one of the developing stories that we found. There's been some money spent when it comes to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes's security detail. And I'd love to hear go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts.
It's important to remember that it is there at the behest of what the state troopers deem needed security. And so the funding and the amount of security provided is not decided by the campaign or his state office. It is decided by patrol.
And the Republicans on the Legislative Audit Committee, I believe, know that. They know that, and they're still going to be calling for this audit. And they want to make it seem like this is some kind of irresponsible government spending. And do you believe that they're going to be able to get away with that after, as you've noted, the $1.1 million spent on Gableman? Or do you believe that this is just something that they're doing for show and it's kind of to ignite their base?
It is absolutely political theater and election season gimmicks. And it's unfortunate that when there are real issues and communities who have not been able to provide services important like fire or EMS or get licensing for their for caregivers and mental health workers and doctors and nurses, when there are real issues at bay and Republicans in power would choose to play political theater and not get to work, it's really, really embarrassing. And I think that the $1.1 million that the Speaker's office funded the Office of Special Counsel to look into a sham investigation is absolutely reflective of their values, which unfortunately are not reflective of the values of the Wisconsin people.
Yeah. And we've only got a couple minutes here again for listeners just tuning in. What is the best way, State Representative Francesca Hong, for them over the next 6 weeks to take some time and donate time, treasure, or talent? What are the avenues that you yourself will be doing over the next 6 weeks to kind of get the state over the finish line when it comes to these statewide and down ballot races?
Yeah, so I'll be going to meetings for our county parties. So I'll be in Jefferson today talking to the wonderful folks at the Jefferson County Dem Party. You can go to visit any of the candidates' websites to make a donation. There are neighborhood action teams that are getting together in neighborhoods all across Wisconsin to canvass and do doors. And again, remember that you are a trusted messenger to someone in your community. So the better informed you are, sometimes not having a Dem or Republican next to your name or being someone who is heavily involved in politics, but as someone's neighbor, as someone's friend, as someone's parent, aunt, whatever, you are a trusted messenger. Explain with a personal story why it is so important that people go out and vote on November 8th.
Perfect. Thank you so much, State Representative Francesca Hong. Really appreciate you joining me this afternoon. Those are all excellent points. And it's getting to be ramen weather, so I cannot wait to stop by the restaurant soon and get myself a delicious bowl. So thank you so much for joining me. We'll have to have you back on real soon.
Thanks so much, Luke. Thanks, everyone.
Have a great rest of your day. We got one more segment left in the day for Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with me for this final segment. 844-967-2789. You're listening in Madison on Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw, in Richland Center on Radio from the Center, and in Amory on Lake Air. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. Just wrapped up an appearance by State Representative Francesca Hong. I want to thank her again for joining me for the first three segments of the show today. It's important work to be done between now and Election Day, six weeks from today. And so if you want to get involved, check out the number of ways that the representative said you can donate time, talent, and treasure between now and Election Day. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media in Madison on Devil Radio, in Waukesha on the Shaw, Radio from the Center in Richland Center, and Lake Air in Amory. And if you want to join for this final segment of the day, you can. 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open. And I got an update that I'm going to provide on Frederick Prenn. But before we do that, we're going to head over to those phone lines. We got Pizza Box Mike calling in. Pizza Box, what's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, Francesca Hong speaks my language and in the same tone and text quite often, and you know, doesn't try to sweeten the truth up too much, right, because it's kind of ugly. But in contrast, yeah, look what they did in 2011 and 12, how many times they held sessions all year long after midnight, locking the doors, keeping the people out, and now they won't even hear it. Gavel in, gavel out. You know that's what's coming.
Yeah, the nature of the Wisconsin legislature to do their work in the middle of the night for the things that are that's how the budget gets passed almost every session now too. It doesn't even have to be the Act 10 controversies in 2011 or the right to work in 15. It's just a standard budget they can't do without doing it with the cover of night. Like, it has to be in the wee hours for them to pass anything, because they know how unpopular things are. And when it's not covered in primetime news, when it's covered the next day because it's not what's going on, it already happened overnight, and there are plenty of criticism that can go around for how the Wisconsin media has covered the Republican legislature in recent years, but they are unpopular. The Republican Party takes the unpopular stances on a number of issues, and I think Representative Hong did a great job describing a number of those issues. And the fact that next week's special session, scheduled for Tuesday, October 4th, is going to be just one more chapter in the gavel in and gavel out book that is Robin Voss's led Republican legislature, it's disheartening, but it just goes to show what is on the line for between now and 6 weeks from today, because a lot can change for the better or for the worse with the outcome of the elections that are on the ballot this November. And so you got to definitely be involved. Use these next 6 weeks wisely. And I'm not just talking about listening to Civic Media and Dueling Tangents and all the fine programming that we do here on these networks. It's about getting involved and like the representative said, I can't say enough, time, treasure, and talent. She puts it very succinctly. Those are the three things, and you got to do all of them. And everybody's got to do all of them. And speaking of political consequences, you get some individuals that aren't even just the legislature. They're tangential to that. They're individuals on boards like the Natural Resources Board, because the governor is supposed to appoint members of the Natural Resources Board when their new term starts. For one in particular, supposed to be May 1st of last year, 2021. Since then, Sandra Nass, the appointee to the Natural Resources Board by Governor Tony Evers, has been sitting waiting for a confirmation hearing from the Republican-led state Senate. Devin LeMahieu just has chosen not to allow Evers' appointment to get a confirmation hearing. And because of that, Frederick Prehn has been a holdover. He doesn't have a successor to force him out because she hasn't been confirmed by the state Senate. And so we're learning now over at the Journal Sentinel, and this is breaking as of this afternoon. Laura Schultz at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a new piece written up. Text messages show Frederick Prehn sought to stay on DNR board to ensure conservative control. Frederick Prehn plans to remain on the Natural Resources Board at least until the November election, and his decision to remain a holdover past the expiration of his term in May 2021 was made with the encouragement of state senators seeking to block Democratic Governor Tony Evers' appointments, newly released text messages reveal. Now, I haven't read the entire story, so we're not going to read it all out loud here on the piece, on the air. But I'm going to get to the piece, and I can guarantee you Brian and I will have some thoughts on it tomorrow. But it just goes to show that politics are going to be played. You're going to have audits called for, looking into the spending of the state patrol when it comes to security details for our governor and lieutenant governor, acting like it's their fault. They're going to blame it through a partisan lens, saying that Evers and Mandela Barnes are requesting this increased security, when really the state patrol is just tasked with ensuring the safety of whoever is elected governor and lieutenant governor. And maybe it has to do with the increase of threats, the security assessment that the state patrol is doing now that we have our first black lieutenant governor. Maybe that has something to do with the increased cost of securing Mandela Barnes. But it's apparently a government waste to protect elected officials if they're Democrats. If they're, I don't know, a Supreme Court justice and somebody protests outside their house, oh, Congress needs to move in the snap of a finger to be able to secure those Supreme Court justices' homes. But if it's a Democrat that has no say over their security detail, and that security detail has to increase because of more risk, that's apparently the Democratic candidate's fault. But there's going to be a lot of politics played between now and 6 weeks from today. And we're going to try to cut through it as best we can. We're going to talk about these stories as we see them. When Fred Prehn becomes in the news, you can guarantee we're going to talk about that. We're going to be talking more about the subpoena that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has received from the House Select Committee on January 6th. An important programming note for everybody out there in the listening audience. Tomorrow's January 6th House Committee hearing will be delayed because of landfall of Hurricane Ian in Florida. So we do not know yet all the details about when those hearings will be moved to, but you can guarantee that Civic Media is going to broadcast them across our network. So you're going to want to stay tuned to find out more about when those next hearings will be. But it gives the Assembly Speaker plenty of time to respond to the subpoena. He was worried that it was an undue burden on him because of how quickly they wanted a response. Now that the hearings are delayed, maybe he can comply with that subpoena. I doubt it. I think he's still going to be suing to prevent it, but that's just my thought. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. If you want to check out the podcast, you can find us on Spotify, on Apple, on Google, or go to civicmedia.us, where you can also sign up to learn more about our network and how we're expanding. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.